I have got some ghost stories for you.
I feel something crawl into the bed with me, and it starts to spoon me.
There was a time where I would be in bed falling asleep, and I would hear my name being called. Different voices call my name.
Poof, the person disappeared right in front of our eyes.
And we were both like, did you see that?
There was this figure of a woman. Her skin was bluish, and her hands were clawed, and her mouth was wide open.
So that is my ghost story.
Hi, and welcome to Haunted AF, the podcast of real ghost stories told by real people. We are your hosts. I'm Julie Fisk.
And I'm Rebecca Black. Welcome to our April episode.
Woo!
This is our first episode since the eclipse, and thank God it looks like none of us were like abducted up into the sky by the aliens.
I know.
It's a little disappointing.
I really thought that something cool might happen.
I love that after it happened, we're like, oh my God, that was so amazing. And then we go into this whole thing of like, we were sitting ducks.
It is true,
right? Like, we were all outside. It would have been the perfect time for them to just scoop us all up and take us away.
So do you think the fact that we're all still here after the eclipse is more proof that there are no aliens?
I don't know. There could be like a small town that we've never heard of that's wiped off the planet and we have no idea.
Or, you know, there's that one tribe out in the middle of some jungle that has had no, they're mm-hmm. gone. Somebody check they on gone. Those guys.
Yeah.
But everybody saw the UFO footage out of Dallas, correct?
Thank you for saying that, because it's a plane, people. It was clearly an airplane.
How many people sent you that video?
A million.
Yes.
And then I'm like, the fact that Dallas, Texas TV had it posted, and I'm like, bros, you know this is a plane, yes?
It had such a Nope feeling to it.
Oh, yeah.
In Nope, you remember like whenever the alien or whatever that thing is like zipping around in the sky, and it was silent. So that's what was so creepy about it, when you would see this shadow moving through the clouds that was silent. Okay, if you haven't seen it, we're going to share it. We'll put it in the like companion blog or whatever.
It looked really cool though.
It looked amazing.
It looked like an alien, and I love that. But clearly where I was standing, you could see the outline of the wings. And
it's a plane.
It's a plane.
It's absolutely a plane. There are those moments though sometimes where things happen and it has this really creepy otherworldly feel to it that you kind of realize, oh, well, this is why people think that this is something.
Oh yeah.
Definitely
had those vibes.
Yeah.
Like the eclipse altogether.
There was one time when I was in Asheville, we were sitting out on the porch. It was at night. It was beautiful, looking out over this valley, and an owl flew out of the woods very close to us and kind of went across this clearing where we were, but he was so silent and it was just such this perfect
freaky
moment of this giant ass bird coming out, making no noise at all. And in my heart, I was like, Skinwalker. Like, I just immediately, I was like, that wasn't an owl.
No,
I don't know what the hell that was.
No, so something morphed.
Yeah. So I can see how people will see something that's completely normal and natural, but you're like,
I totally get that. And
yeah,
like I said earlier, I feel like the entire solar eclipse was a creepy, weird,
and wonderful,
amazing, and weird.
There was that moment, and forgive us if you weren't in the path of totality,
or you missed out
on a part of the planet that didn't have. Don't worry, there's always another one coming soon.
Like, we'll be dead though. You and I will.
Probably.
Yeah. I think it's like 40 years from now.
But there was this moment you would be looking through your glasses and boom, it was totality.
Yeah.
And then you take off your glasses and you see what it actually looks like in real life. And it's like, whoa.
I mean,
that was the moment I think all of us just shit our pants.
I absolutely did. It was better than anything I could have ever imagined.
Same.
Like, it was so, it was so worth it. And then I saw somebody post like on Twitter, like, we don't all need to see your eclipse pictures. And I'm like, shut the up. Yes, you do need to see.
Oh my God. I'm going to post 12
pictures.
More just because of that.
Right?
That's why we're off X or whatever it is.
That's it. That's the
it.
Reason
yes.
why.
We did bail from, if you followed us on Twitter, I'm not calling it X anymore. If you followed us there and you don't see us there anymore, there's a reason. We just saw something really, really horrible. The worst thing I've ever seen on social media.
It just noped on out.
Yeah. And it was like, you know what? We don't need to be here anymore. So please follow us, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok.
Literally everywhere else but Twitter.
That, yeah. And make sure you, why am I saying all of this? That's I think right. I've got this written down for you coming
That's
up.
Good.
In
I
a
know.
Little bit.
I, like I can bust in any moment.
Okay.
With a, don't forget. We've got exclusive content.
Yeah.
On patreon.com/hauntedAF.
Oh, and we do need to say hello to our newest patrons. We've got Donna, who's a returning patron. Also love to Mitzi and to Darren. They both became annual patrons.
Yay.
And Darren says he has stories, but he has to get his ass into gear first. So
again,
come on.
You can find all of that exclusive content patreon.com/hauntedAF. And before we go any further, we do need to remind everybody, send us your spooky stories. We we yeah. love the weird shit stories. We love glitches in the Matrix, which, by the way, I told a really awful one.
Yeah, that involved tampons. Yeah.
It did. So if you want to go listen to that, please do.
And by the way, it's been so long since we've actually taped together that I screwed up and I didn't have our mics plugged in properly.
Oh, yeah.
So it sounds really bad. So now you need to go and listen just to hear how bad it
just
sounded.
Just for that low quality audio.
Yeah.
It happened.
Sorry to our patrons.
Yeah, we also need some Bigfoot stories, UFO stories, all the things, hidden rooms, whatever you got, please send it to us. What's our email? HauntedAFpodcast@gmail.com.
And it's especially tough right now because since we're only releasing episodes once a month, people are just not sending that many stories. So I'm digging through stuff from 2020, which I've bitched about in prior episodes. And usually the stuff that's back there, it's like really, really long stories that I kept putting off because they were taking so long to get through.
And now you have to, because that's all we've got.
And sometimes it's torturous. Like I will be 30 minutes into trying to edit a story about footsteps or something, and I'll just be like grinding my teeth getting through them, and then boom, an email will show up and save the day. Like this one from Allison, it just came in. She says, "Hi, I discovered your podcast last week and I love it.
Yay.
Anyway, I have a ghost-ish story. In 2002, I went to Oregon to visit someone I had been talking to online, which in retrospect was stupid." But I think people do that all the time.
They do. Anyway, so. It's common now.
Yeah. Anyway, we were driving to the coast and ended up at a hotel called Seagull Inn in Lincoln City. My friend and I immediately went to the beach when we got unpacked. At this point, it was like 10:30, 11 p.m., so very dark. We were sitting pretty far back from the water when I looked to my right and I saw a woman with a long white dress carrying a basket. I turned to my friend and said, "Oh, great, we've got company." In the 2 seconds it took to turn and say that, I looked back and she was like 15 to 20 feet out on the water.
Oh, dang.
I was stunned, but thought that's weird. So to test it again, I looked back at my friend and then back at the woman who was back on the beach again. I closed my eyes like a blink and she was back out on the water. I told my friend, "Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's a ghost." We watched her for like 10 minutes and even had to walk past her to get back to the hotel. That's when we noticed she had no feet and was like floating. Her dress had also changed from white to black. Never saw her face, and I don't think she noticed we were there because she never disappeared. Now, my husband and I honeymooned in Oregon and went to that same hotel. My husband went out on the beach one night and sat in the dark hoping to see her, but no such luck.
Oh, that's so cute.
I know.
It's so cute.
It really is. I need to know, though, why she didn't go back out there.
Maybe scared.
I even emailed the hotel to see if anyone else had seen her, but didn't get a reply. Thanks for reading. And again, that is from Allison.
Man, so, a ghosty 10-minute show.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
That's a long time to see an apparition.
So I asked Allison, I said, when she was out on the water, was she like in the water? And she said she was like floating
like
above the water. Right.
Freaky.
So this, are you ready to see this Seagull Inn?
I am absolutely ready to see it.
I put a note in the notes that was like, "Rebecca, don't look at this beforehand."
Can I just tell you, I think it's hilarious that you put a note in there. I did see it. I screenshot it. I'm going to post it on all my social media today. Because here's the thing. I am a fan of this podcast. I do not like to read anything that Julie is going to read. I'm just getting the podcast in real time. I want to be just as surprised as everybody else.
I love it. I love it. Okay, so here we go. This is the Seagull Inn.
Oh, it's going to be so creepy.
Oh, wait. That's not the picture that I wanted to show
you. It's a beautiful beach, though.
There it is.
Ooh.
Tell me you're a haunted hotel without saying you're haunted.
100% yes.
But beautiful.
Gorgeous. It's like everything I could hope for. No wonder you went there for your honeymoon.
I know. It's absolutely amazing. So we need to Google, or if anybody wants to do it for us, to find out, is the Seagull Beachfront Inn haunted? Is this like one of those places that if you live in Lincoln City or
like
wherever this is,
everybody knows it's haunted.
Right, right. So we need more information about that one.
It's
so,
giving me Shining vibes. I'm not going to lie.
Did you? God. I was so excited when this email came in. I read it to my daughter and I did exactly what I just did to you. I was like, "Okay, Lucy, here it is. Here's
look,
the picture.
Look.
Yeah. And when I showed her, I'm like, "Don't you just hear the Shining theme song when they're driving up to the Overlook? That bum, bum, bum.
Totally. 100%.
Yes.
You did that so well.
Thank you. It felt good.
That might be, can that be next year's like intro to the podcast?
But like us just singing it.
Dun, 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 dun.
I don't even know if that's really what it sounds like.
No, it does.
Who's that scratching at the back door? Who's that drinking out the toilet bowl? It's the dead pet of the week.
Excellent. Okay. And yes,
I felt like a howl belonged there at the end. I'm so sorry.
Very good. All right. This next story comes from Allison.
Hello. Love the podcast. I wanted to send in a story for Dead Pet of the Week. This is about my cat, Tootsie, who passed away somewhat unexpectedly. We found out she had developed like 3 types of cancer and a heart condition.
Oh,
and so we were really heartbroken about her loss. And then we started to have some weird things happening in our house shortly after she had passed away. The first instance was when my boyfriend and I were in bed and we have another cat and we both thought that our cat had jumped on the bed. And I got up to find her and like look for her and she was nowhere in the room. And my boyfriend also looked up and said, "Where is she?" And we both were convinced a cat was in our bed and no one was in there. The next was when we were both sitting in our living room with our cat, who was alive, and one of the cat toys that was a ball just rolled across the floor on its own. And we both saw it, and our other cat was not playing with it. And the cat who had passed away would be pretty playful at times and play with balls, so we both thought that it must have been Tootsie, because we had no other explanation. The windows were not open. There was no fans on. There was no reason for this ball to move. It just started moving on its own and it rolled probably like 4 feet and then just came to a complete stop. The last time that was probably the most convincing for me was I was in the bathroom getting ready and I had just fed my cat who was alive and we had since gotten a second cat. It was always a big deal feeding them because my one cat would kick the other cat off her food bowl and eat both of the food and then the cat who got kicked off would take off running. And so I fed them both and I ran to the bathroom to do my makeup and I saw a cat run past the bathroom immediately behind me. And I got really mad because I thought my cat kicked her off the food bowl. And so I yelled out my cat's name, Granada, and I came running out into the kitchen to pull her off the other cat's food bowl to find both my cats sitting there where I left them eating food. And so that one, I hadn't even in the moment thought it was a ghost or Tootsie or anything like that. I was 100% convinced a cat ran past me. We've since moved, and I was really worried that we wouldn't have any more Tootsie encounters in our new house, and we haven't, which is a bummer, but I hope that she's still in that old house haunting the new people who are living there. Oh. And that's my Dead Pet of the Week.
Oh, thank you, Allison.
That
sweet
is so
Tootsie.
Sweet. I know.
And we have the stories of people who move into houses, and they're like, yeah, we have a ghost kitty.
Yeah.
So hopefully she is. Hopefully.
She'll be loved in that house now by somebody else. All right, our next one comes from Tammy. Sorry, I really just feel the need to be like, Tammy. I don't know why. That's
because of Melissa McCarthy. She did that movie.
You are so right. That has to be where it's from.
Yeah.
Anyway, she says, I used to live in this little house out in the country. It was an old camp counselor's cabin that was turned into a residence. Have we not seen any of the movies? No. I lived there with my daughter, and when she was young, my father passed away. He was crazy about her. He used to put all of his change in a bowl, and when the bowl was full, he would give it all to her.
Oh.
After he passed, I would find piles of change all around the house, oh, and in places I knew I hadn't left them, because I think you would remember that.
Paw.
Right, that's so sweet. Also, in the warmer months, I would leave the front door open and take in the cool air. I would always see movement out on the porch, like someone was walking around out there. However, the thing is, I never heard footsteps on the porch and there was never anyone there. This happened so often that it eventually didn't faze me. Several years later, I was going through a divorce that left me completely broke and wondering how to keep a roof over our heads. One morning, I was standing in the kitchen looking out the window, just feeling hopeless. I turned around and there was a man standing right behind me.
Oh my goodness.
Now, he wasn't a solid man. I could sort of see through him. He had gray hair that looked like it used to be red and was wearing a baseball cap and had on a plaid shirt. He was looking out the window just like I had been. As soon as I saw him, he faded away. We moved shortly after that and I never saw the man again. I often wondered, though, if he was there to shock me enough to get me moving forward again.
Maybe.
I've been in my new home for 14 years now and haven't seen anything else. My beautiful babies are grown and out on their own. I guess that transparent little man did play a part in getting us to our next chapter. Tammy.
Oh, that's so sweet.
That's a great story. I love that.
I mean, maybe he was, or maybe he was just trying to scare the shit out of you.
Either way, you got your ass up and out of that house.
Yeah, he made a difference.
You moved on.
All right, this next story comes from Allie Rose.
Hello, I really love the podcast. So I wanted to send in my story about dream sharing. So I moved to New Mexico after I graduated from undergrad, and I just moved in with this graduate student, and I did not know him, but I was going to be his field technician for the summer. We were actually studying lizards in White Sands, New Mexico, so I really didn't know this person at all, and we slept in the trailer together. He had his own room, and I had mine, and we slept with the door shut. One night, I experienced sleep paralysis, which is the only time in my life I have, and what I was experiencing was thinking that somebody was breaking into the trailer and that they were trying to get in the front door. That wasn't working, so they were trying to get into my bedroom window. It felt very real to me, and I just kept having the thought, you need to get up, you need to wake up, and you have to go get Clay, which was my boss. And I couldn't move, and I felt like this person was really breaking in and I was in some serious danger. And I realized I couldn't move no matter what I did. And so then I had the thought, try to yell for him. Try as hard as you can. And I tried and tried, but I was failing miserably. Finally, I broke out of it, and I was saying Clay's name, but at a whisper. And again, my door was shut, and I was down the hallway. After that, we got ready for the day, and at breakfast, you know, I didn't mention anything. I didn't really know this man, and I was actually a little bit scared of him. He was an intimidating boss, and he started telling me that he had a really weird dream and proceeds to tell me that he dreamt that somebody was trying to break into the trailer and they couldn't get in the front door and were trying to get in my bedroom window, and that he couldn't get up and that he really needed to get up to try and help me. And no matter what he did, he wasn't able to. And then at some point he started to hear me scream his name incredibly loud, but he wasn't able to get to me, and then he came to. So it was incredibly weird. It was the exact dream that I had, only from his perspective. And I didn't really know this person at all for it to be just like we have the same thought process or anything. Like, I have no idea how that could have happened. Our front lawn was entirely mud, so I did look, and there were no footprints or anything to indicate someone actually was breaking in and that we were actually hearing that. So it was just really weird. And to this day, it remains probably one of the weirdest things that I've had happen to me. Thanks.
Man.
Like, we've heard dream sharing between people that know each other.
Right.
But this is a total stranger.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
How much you want to bet someone was, like, murdered inside that trailer something?
Oh, yeah. Now I feel bad because I'm like, sorry, you lived in a murder house.
Yeah.
I mean, sorry, but not sorry, because it's kind of cool.
Yeah, and send us a picture of these lizards. Like, what a cool job.
Right? I didn't even know that, like, existed.
Yeah, but at the same time, you have to live in a trailer with someone you don't know in Mudville.
Super weird.
Yeah,
super
lots of weird twists and turns to that one. Thank you, Allie Rose. We found another person who's being haunted by us.
Good.
Hello, Rebecca and Julie. I'm Mary, and I heard you girls mention many times that listeners say listening to the podcast was causing scary experiences in their life. We haven't gotten one of these in a while.
It's been a minute.
I was skeptical at first, but think I've been proven wrong. I was listening to the podcast while getting ready for work, and after a few minutes of playing, it went strangely silent. I went to see what was wrong, and to my surprise, the entire app was closed.
What?
I ignored it, thinking it was just glitching, and went on with my day. When I got to work, I put on my AirPods and continued listening. Roughly 1 hour in, it happened again. The podcast app completely closed on my phone. I thought to myself, okay, now that's weird, because it happened twice in the same day. The next day, I was in the middle at the supply room at work listening to the podcast when I clearly saw a tall skinny guy walk through and then slam the door shut. It startled me because I had never seen him before and didn't know that anybody else was in the room with me. I stepped out to see who it was, and no one was there. I asked my coworkers who would come out, but they hadn't seen anyone else. My body gets cold just thinking that it might not have been a physical guy who slammed that door on me. Love the podcast, ladies. Stay safe. And that is from Mary.
Oh, Mary. Woo! That was great.
Okay, this next story comes from Holly, and it's kind of long. This is a two-parter.
Hi, guys. My name's Holly, and I'm from Alaska. I have a couple of really great ghost stories to tell you, experiences that I've had. The first one is when I was a very young child, and I lived in Utah at the time. The house that we owned in this little town called Cleveland was the very first mail place that was built in this town.
Like a post
office? So it was really, really super, super old. My mom and dad decided one day that they wanted to open up the attic space and turn it into a bedroom for us three older children. Well, this is where my story begins. I remember that when I was little, and my mom remembers me talking about this when I was younger, we had a ghost that was up in this attic space. It was the form of a man. It didn't have any feet. I knew that this ghost would come to the sound of movement. So I made sure that if I felt myself waking up, that I'd keep my eyes closed until I heard either my sister or my brother move. And then I would open my eyes and the ghost would be standing by whoever it was that had made the noise. My older brother was the one that it was always standing by. I would watch it and then my sister would roll or move and it would float over to my sister's bed and then stand at her bed. I do remember that I was so freaked out that I took all of my stuffed animals and I would put them all around me and then put one big one on top of my face and on top of my body to make it look like the stuffed animal was sleeping in the bed. I have no idea who he was, but it was quite an experience opening my eyes and seeing this like every night. Okay, so another story I have to tell you was pretty scary for me and my husband. We were really into the show Ghost Hunters. And on one of the shows, they had gone to the Stanley Hotel to investigate. And they talked about how Stephen King was there. And that's where he got the idea for The Shining and everything. And so this is where we come in. My husband was coming back from Iraq and I wanted to do something special for him. So we went to the Stanley Hotel and I was going to surprise him. I asked them to let us stay in that specific room. So we stayed there for 3 days and two nights. When we got there, we went into the room and we checked out the closet. My husband decided to put an L-shaped piece of plastic that said no smoking. That little L-shaped sign that they had up on the dresser, he decided to put it in front of the door. And we went into the bathroom and we were talking about how nothing had happened and how this was just a big hoax. And right when I said that, the light bulb over the bathroom sink just shatters. And it freaks me out. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And I call down to the desk and they send somebody up to change the bulb. And they're like, oh yeah, we're changing things all the time in here. We woke up the next morning and the closet door had opened and closed because the little L sign that we put in front of it was out in the middle of the room. The next day, we just went around the hotel and nothing else happened to us. One of the funny things that we did do, though, the room that we were staying in, they had tours coming through the Stanley Hotel. And we would hear people in the middle of the afternoon come up to the door and she'd start telling the story about how maids that they saw ghosts in there and how things got taken off the nightstand. And when we heard them coming, we would wait by the door and then we would shake the door really bad and freak them out. And then we'd open it up and tell them we were just kidding, you know, JK. But we would shake it really bad and scare the people out there. And it was a really fun time. Thank you, ladies, so much. I love the broadcast that you do. I love listening to you every night and keep up the amazing work and the wonderful stories.
Oh, thank you, Holly.
Oh, that was great.
So how many times do you think when people have like ghostly encounters at the Stanley, it's just the guests f***ing with them?
I mean, at this point now, it probably that's all it is anymore.
Okay, so there was a second part to Holly's story and there was an audio issue with it.
Oh, no.
But she talked about one night waking up and thinking that she saw a woman floating above their bed.
Ooh.
Yeah, which was like a big part of the story.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I couldn't include that part, but it's she said she was in a blue dress. She woke her husband up. Her husband didn't see it. She
was
said
at the Stanley Hotel
at the
too?
Stanley Hotel okay. on the same trip. And she said she even asked the people who worked at the hotel, was this a common occurrence? And they kind of blew her off. So I would like to know from everybody if you've had or heard anything about a woman in a blue dress at the Stanley Hotel, because that's interesting. I've heard about a little girl. I've heard lots of instances, but I don't know that I've heard about that.
Yeah,
so,
neither.
All right.
And, hey, wait, hold on really quick. Random side note about the Stanley Hotel, just because you know, the movie The Shining based on Stanley Hotel, but it was filmed in Oregon.
Right.
Did you see this week that hotel caught on fire and they're closed?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Isn't that crazy? I'm like, that's how the movie ends.
Oh my God.
Or is it in the book that it burned?
In the book, but also in the second movie. Do you remember the second one? What was that one with Ewan McGregor?
Oh, Dr. Sleep.
Dr. Sleep? Yes, because they went back to it.
Such a great movie.
It is a good movie.
Such a good movie.
I think it's
better than The Shining.
No, well, you're wrong about that. But the Dr. Sleep.
Dr. Sleep is fantastic. If y'all have not seen it, you absolutely have to. It's so good.
I think it kind of got bad reviews. People didn't love it.
It had to be because they were killing kids.
Well, yeah. And then Rebecca Ferguson, she's just so hateful.
But I love her. She's just so good.
All the vampires in it, they're just the worst.
They're horrible. They're awful. But if you're a vampire, you got to be bad.
I'm so glad we're on the same page about that one.
It's such a great movie.
But yeah, when they go back to the Overlook.
Right. It burns down.
In that one. This is so completely unrelated again.
This is what happens when we haven't seen each other in a month, but we go off on some tangents.
There is a bathroom at the Dr. Phil studio that I call the Jack Torrance bathroom.
Amazing. Because why have you not posted pictures?
It doesn't look like it. And I can't even totally explain, but it's like, you know, for half of the week, Dr. Phil is, I'm working for Dr. Phil now. So half of the week he's taping shows at this big part of the studio and there's a live audience and there's tons of people there. So they have these great big pristine white bathrooms.
Makes sense.
Yeah. For the studio audience. Yeah. Rest of the week, everybody's gone. And so those are my favorite bathrooms because they're nice and clean and empty.
Yeah.
And nobody goes over there to use them. But
they're the same way.
There's also this weird emptiness to them. And I say it's like the Shining bathrooms.
I know what you're talking about because I get it.
It has that feeling when you go in, it's completely empty and yet it still somehow feels populated. It feels like it should be crowded, like there are people there, but it's still completely empty.
Oh, I love that.
So it's the Overlook Hotel bathroom. Yeah, because you remember the scene where he goes in and it's like the bathroom is empty.
Yes.
But then, you know, the former overseer walks in. Okay, sorry. And now we're going to wrap everything up with a story from 2020.
Woo!
Michael Shanahan, who actually had a podcast called Popcorn Saga. I have no idea if it's still going. He'll tell you about it.
This is from 2020. That's why we don't know.
Yeah.
Hi, Julie. Hi, Rebecca. Hi, Haunted AF Podcast. My name is Michael Shanahan and I'm from Southeast London in the UK. I'm a podcaster just like you guys. My podcast is called Popcorn Saga. Check us out on all your podcast apps. But I'll get into my story. Now, I need to give you a bit of background information about where I grew up, which is called the St Hilaire Estate in Southeast London. Developed in the 1930s, the St Hilaire Estate was built to rehouse many of inner London's residents who were living in decaying properties as a result of the First World War. The estate was one of the largest housing developments in Europe when it was built. My granddad, being one of the children, moved from East London into St Hilaire Estate, where he met my grandma. My mum was born here. A lot of history in this estate. During the Second World War, at least 20 bombings took place over the estate between 1940 and 1941. An ACAT gun was situated at one of the estate corners on Westminster Road, as there was a good line of sight to the skies above the hospital. Now, Westminster Road may mean nothing to you, listener, but to me that's 50 metres away from the house I would later grow up in 50 years later. In November 1992, my family and I moved in to 49 Whitby Road without knowing the history of this street. From the moment I walked in, I was scared to go upstairs. Even thinking about it now gives me chills just looking up those stairs. It just didn't feel right from day one. Now, a little bit about the house. 3-bedroom upstairs and downstairs was the toilet. And in the garden, there was an air raid shelter. Now, an air raid shelter is where, during the Second World War, families would go and sleep in there when the bombings were going on, because they were reinforced buildings with the hope of not dying, basically. Now, again, this is a true story. Weeks later, I was in bed. Me and my brother had bunk beds. I was in the bottom bunk. He was on the top bunk. And it must have been early morning. And I felt a hand slowly wrap its fingers around my wrist. Ugh. I remember it vividly, feeling like someone was actually touching my wrist. And from that night onwards, I was on the top bunk. My older brother was on the bottom bunk because I was too scared. And that was the first incident in that house. You would always hear bumps and creaks, like any old house, but it always felt eerie. If you woke up in the night and I needed to go to the toilet, I'd either run really fast because the toilet was downstairs or I just wouldn't go, which led me to wet the bed into an age I'm not willing to admit on a podcast, through fear, basically. The key events that I remember mainly happened to my mum. Lovely lady, good mum, but she also has a form of Asperger's, which she's very particular. She has forms of OCDs. She doesn't understand sarcasm. She's a very straight talker. She doesn't lie. She has no filter. But mum doesn't bullshit, so let's just leave that there. So if we fast forward to, say, 97, 98, my little sister's 5 or 6 by then. She was upstairs playing with her toys. My mum was downstairs. Well, my sister was singing along, playing with her toys, and my mum heard someone tell her to shut up really loudly. Mm. to which my sister did show up, and it upset her. She came down crying. The creepiest thing that my mum said was the voice didn't sound of this world. It was deep. It was a horrible voice that just told her to shut up because she was singing and playing and being loud like a five-year-old is. Around a similar time, my mum was home with my sister. They're sitting down to watch a film, and someone walks into the bathroom, locks the door. 5 minutes later, they come out and go upstairs. An hour later, I came in, and my mum said, "Have you just come in?" "Yeah." "Did you come back for the toilet or anything?" I said, "No, I've been at my friend's house," and I had been. I said, "Why?" And she told me. The look on her face, she went, literally went as white as a sheet. I remember it so vividly because she was convinced it was me coming home, but there was nobody else in. And finally, this was when we was all a bit older. We're all at school. My mum heard whispers on the stairs and she shit herself, basically. That house always felt eerie looking back. The house I live in now doesn't feel like that. The only conclusion we ever come to is that our house was bombed in the Second World War, and possibly a young boy died similar age to me, or girl, or someone, and maybe that's who was haunting that house, because something definitely happened. I'm getting goosebumps all over my body talking about this. But what my mum always believed, that she was the conduit. She calls it her special brain, her Asperger's, but she believed she let it in. But I guess we'll never know what happened in 49 Whitby Road. Thank you.
Oh, he's such a good storyteller.
It's great.
Thank you, Michael.
So good. But I've never heard that aspect of maybe because she had Asperger's that that somehow like let her guard down for something else to come in.
You know, I believe that. Same. I totally believe that our brain filters things out.
I agree.
And, you know, Asperger's, your brain is wired a little differently. Man, the air raid shelter. Like those things.
So creepy.
That's so wild to me.
Yeah.
And to think that you could be living in a modern times and still have an air raid shelter next to your home.
I don't know. I would probably, as a kid, would have turned that into a clubhouse somehow.
Because, oh my gosh. Like,
that would have been so cool.
And we've had stories before about the haunted air raid shelters and they're just fascinating. We have a lot of listeners in the UK as well. If anybody has an air raid shelter, we would love to see photos of it. I would absolutely love that.
For a while there, I fell down the rabbit hole of the fallout shelters, like the fancy fallout shelters.
Yeah.
Like just go look at like 1950s fallout shelters and they're so freaking cool.
Are you watching Fallout right now?
No, but I've heard good things about this.
Okay.
Have you started watching it?
Yeah, I go back and forth with it. But I imagine it's probably like modern day panic rooms. You know?
That's exactly what it is.
Or preppers, modern day preppers as well.
So the old school one though from the 50s, like that mid-century vibe.
It looks amazing.
They are rad.
We need to find a link to that and put that in the show notes.
Yeah,
because that sounds really cool.
Yeah. Oh, it's my turn. I'm sorry. Got excited there. Okay, y'all, quick reminder, Haunted AF, we are all over the place. We have a website, hauntedaf.com. Please check it out. You can see all of our episode blogs. And of course, we've got these amazing t-shirts, mugs, merch, all the things. They're so cute. We've got Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. Follow us all there. We even have a YouTube channel where you can watch us. So if you want to know our stupid expressions, go there, check it out. It's very entertaining.
It really is. It's kind of surprising.
Yeah.
Once people start watching the YouTube version, they end up staying there. And before we go, we have some homework for everybody. Has anyone heard of the Pigman? It's kind of an urban legend. Well, we got a bonkers Pigman story this past month. And before we share it, we want to give everybody else a chance to tell their Pigman story. So send those and really anything else you've got. But please keep it under 5 minutes for my sanity. Please send those to hauntedafpodcast@gmail.com. Wait, do you want to say something about Pigman?
All I'm thinking of is that Twilight Zone pig face people episode.
The stories are gross.
Okay.
They're really gross, but we'll share that in the next Haunted AF.
And don't forget to subscribe to Haunted AF on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you listen to podcasts. Please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and of course, TikTok. You can even contact us directly through our website, hauntedaf.com.
Gotta say thanks to Andrew Mamalaga and Travis Vance for the Haunted AF theme song, and to On Air Media for titles and technical support. Also, big thanks to all of the Haunted AF Patreon supporters.
Most of all, we have to thank you for listening and for sharing your stories with us. By the way, Julie, if I die first, I'm coming back to haunt you.
Oh, I'll come back to haunt you too, Rebecca.